And welcome back to Forever Blue Shirts Radio. I'm your host, Russell Hartman. Joining me this week, as always, are the other two members of the top line, Mr. John-Luke Shapiro and Mr. Kevin Krupe, on this snowy Monday. Wow, it is not Monday today. It's wow, it is wow, totally not Monday. It's Wednesday. Jeez, I'm sorry.
Wait, nice job on your days, Russell.
Wait, come on, Russell.
But you know what? I'm going to continue
snow and you get confused.
Because you know what? Everyone makes mistakes, so I apologize.
Oh, my God.
It is
that
snowy
a segue for something?
No. I mean, it could be, but...
It's not, unfortunately.
It's not, but it could be.
Don't.
But,
oh,
what is going on? Good
anyway,
grief.
You know what, Kevin? You want it to be a segue? It is a segue.
Here we go. I knew it.
Well, you asked for it, Kevin, so here you go.
How dare I go right to the talking of the Rangers?
How dare you? But anyway, welcome back, boys. It's good to be here. Rangers with you both. And speaking of mistakes, it seemingly was a big mistake that Vitaly Kravtsov decided to go back to the KHL. See, it was a good one, right? So Vitaly Kravtsov, as was known, used the European out clause in his contract when he got sent down to Hartford. Wasn't really enjoying his play in Hartford, seemed disinterested, only had one assist in the games he was playing, and ultimately decided to go back to Russia and play for Tractor Chelyabinsk. Things were not working out for Tractor. Tractor sent him down to the VHL, which is basically the KHL's version of the AHL. And he was not getting a lot of ice time. So the Rangers made the executive decision to call him back and control his ice time as he's continued his career and played for the Hartford Wolfpack in his second stint now in North America. So Vitaly Kravtsov is the Rangers' second-ranked prospect behind Kaapo Kakko. We know what he can do. We've seen what he can do in the KHL playoffs. We saw flashes of his skill in the preseason. And ultimately, you know, you're looking at a kid who, over the next few years of this rebuild, is going to be counted upon to really make an impact as a top-six forward. And that is what Gorton and company have envisioned for him. Because ultimately, if they wanted something else out of him, he would have been called up in place of someone like Brendan Smith or Michael Haley. But they don't want him in that bottom six role. They want him in a top six role when he eventually makes it up to the New York Rangers. So we have a lot of Kravtsov and hopefully Leah's stuff to look forward to in Hartford. I hope those two light it up. So right now we're going to start with Mr. Shapiro. Because he was one of the few people way back when Vitaly Kravtsov got drafted that didn't completely hate the pick, like a lot of us did.
Yes,
and
that
I
is
know
true.
At least admit that you hated the pick, Russell.
Oh, no, I hated the pick. I was flipping out.
I want Oliver Wahlstrom.
I want Wahlstrom so bad.
Hey, Kevin, you know, you did too, so I don't want to hear it.
I never said I didn't.
Okay, wait, before we go on to my point, I just want to do, since we did an impression of Russell, I want to do an impression of Kevin, not wanting Vitaly Kravtsov. We got Kravtsov instead of Wahlstrom.
What am I, Bill Cosby? Like, what is this?
Oh, it's a mix of Cosby and nerd Conan O'Brien.
Oh, wow.
You're two things, Conan O'Brien and outdated comedians that are in jail.
Yeah, wow. I know. It's terrible. But to add on about Kravtsov. I wasn't totally against the pick, and the thing that I liked about it was that he was skilled. Obviously, he's quick and all that. So now that he's back, it's good because, like you said, they can control his ice time, and now it seems like he might actually have a better shot to get called up to the big club. Excuse me. So, all that soda is really starting to get to me.
You are excused.
One more. No. You're not. One more outburst, that's it. You're out of here.
What are you going to call Ant on me? it's good that he's back because now it seems like the Rangers wanted him here from the start. And frankly, I just think that Vitaly was just kind of upset that he didn't make the big club, so he just kind of had a fit. I mean, when you're 18 and you don't get what you want, I mean, everyone seems to act that way when they're 18 and they don't get what they want. So, but
confusing 18-year-olds with 8-year-olds again, JL?
No, Kevin, no, I'm not, okay? You probably were indecisive when you were
18, too. No, but Kravtsov didn't earn his spot on the roster in the beginning of the year, and it sucks that he's like, I want to go back to the KHL. Obviously, like, he wasn't going to fix Tractor's problem because they just were playing terrible.
It
wasn't
going to
be
the
godsend. Yeah. And Kravtsov coming back, like, yeah, now he can adjust, but now it's just, there's no expectations for him. So when he does come back up and be like, oh, yay, now he's playing and it's great. And
he's already
happy,
tallied
but
a couple of points with Hartford so far.
It was pretty sweet. It was this nice backdoor feed, and he basically got robbed. And then after he got robbed, he somehow got the puck to, I don't remember who it was in front, but it was basically
Giuseppe.
A dunk at that point. Yeah, it was a dunk at that point.
He's gonna get called up based off of plays like that. And if we're not seeing, like, aggressive scoring from him, right away. Again, it's just don't panic because this is the first time he's playing in the AHL.
Yeah.
So it's just Kratsov is still so exciting, but the Rangers are still so log jammed up top. And do we see him come up this year? Definitely. It's not going to be until February, unfortunately. But
what makes you, say that?
Well,
because you need the spot in the top six open.
Exactly.
And so we're not going to have a spot in the top six open, honestly, until Chris Kreider is traded. And
even Ryan Strome, too.
Or Ryan Strome. That's true. And also to that point, I feel that the trade of Taylor Hall kind of helps us, even though it had nothing to do with us. But it helps the Rangers because now Chris Kreider, as Darren Dreger has said, as Bob McKenzie has said, as different insiders are saying, will be the next domino to fall in the trade market because he's the next best winger available. Yeah. Exactly. So for people that are waiting for Kravtsov to come up, I mean, if he does his job down there in Hartford and he starts playing well, maybe gets some chemistry with Lias or Vinny Lettieri or Phil DiGiuseppe, any of these guys, and starts putting up points, and maybe he's not a point-per-game player, maybe he's a half a point per game player or a 0.75 point per game player at this point, but that's okay. And if he keeps that kind of pace up and showing, he's dedicated and his head is in the right spot, when Chris Kreider does get traded for what is looking like a first round pick and a mid-level prospect, he's going to be the first one that they call up from Hartford.
Well, I feel like it's going to be like one of those huge days where the Rangers do trade away 2 to 4 players and we're going to see a bunch of call-ups. So we probably will see Lias and Kratsov come up at the same time, and the chemistry that they can build together will be the most important, because you could just keep them on a line and they'll just roll with it. They'll just keep producing. It's just, Kratsov being in the AHL is probably the best thing for Elias Anderson at this point.
Oh, 100%.
Because
100%.
That's going to be his best winger to play with.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. And I mean, it fills the hole that Hedl gave to Hartford.
Now we don't have the speculation of, oh, is Kratsov going to come back to the AHL after Tractor's season is done. Now, no more speculation. He's back. Yay. The end. So,
yeah. You make a good point.
It's exciting. It's very exciting. It's just, unfortunately, we have to go back to he didn't make the team at the beginning of the year. So we still have to watch out, like, is he ready? Is he mature enough to be on the club? And if he is, will he actually be able to sustain top 6 minutes? Because sometimes Kako hasn't been able to do that. So if Kako can't do it, will Kratsov be able to do it?
Yeah, and that's fair. That's definitely fair to make that comparison because, a lot of going into this year, Kaapo Kakko, if everything went right, he would have a 25-25 season. But, he's having some growing pains, and he's not the only one. Jack Hughes in New Jersey is as well. And it seems, adjusting is going to take him a little longer than previously thought. And even though Kravtsov and Kakko have both played in men's leagues, Kakko in Liga and Kravtsov in the KHL, there's a reason that the NHL is the be-all, end-all of hockey in the world. I mean, they are the best league in the world. They are the fastest, the toughest. And, we have to remember that these kids are 18, 19 years old. Like, they're young. And obviously, all the stuff that Panarin is doing, that Zibanejad does on a nightly basis, and that the vets are doing, it's making people very hopeful. And like, okay, just when the kids come along, things will be better. But that's just it. When the kids come along, things will get better. But we're going to need a wait of 2 or 3 years for that to happen. And, it's okay because Panarin's only 28 years old. Mika Zibanejad is 26. Like, it's okay. And the timeline of these guys will fit once the kids are ready. But it's important to preach patience here that we have to wait until those kids are indeed ready to take those positions. And look, Kaapo Kakko has shown us flashes already. Vitali Kravtsov has the skill to be able to contribute. And, Filip Hedl has looked like a man on a mission since the Hartford call-up. And even Buchnevich has been really good this year, although he's been a little slump recently.
Well,
so it's all a matter of just
here,
being patient.
Russell,
absolutely.
If I can interject here. You talk about being patient. You talk about the way the Rangers have handled Kakko, and they want to do the same with Kratsov. We can bounce over to something else that we wanted to talk about and how the Rangers decided to temporarily bump Kakko to the fourth line the other day against Nashville and ultimately still keep him on the top unit. So if you really think about it, the Rangers obviously see Kakko doing more. They see that he could do more, but it doesn't seem like he has gotten to that gear as of yet. That being said, they put him on the fourth line. They still put him on the top unit. Do you think that that's something that could be a consistent pattern, or was this just one thing that could just be an anomaly? I think one or two games, but it seems like he kind of got a nice little kick the other day on Monday, and he looked good. I was there at the Garden. Not a big deal. And
you always say, Kevin, you go to the Garden. It's like, no. You go, like, at least once every 2 weeks.
Kevin, why do you have to throw this back at me for?
I'm just saying, like, Kevin... All you said was, Kevin, you just keep going to the Garden. You've been there more than me. No. If anybody wants to see JL, there's a good chance you'll see him at a Rangers game.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going sometime.
And I'm broke. No, but
but that doesn't stop you.
No, it doesn't, because I have my
wife. For those that don't know, JL has one kidney left. For those who don't know,
he's also missing half of his liver.
Yes,
and a lot of his, like, his hair is all gone too. He wears a hairpiece now because he sold his luscious locks to get the ticket.
It's the worst.
He also did a bone marrow, transplant to some dying kids.
I've also donated a lot of plasma on the black market too. So
just blood, countless liters of blood.
But to get back to my point, though. You want to talk patience with Kratsov. You have to say the same thing about Kako. What do you guys think it means that Quinn put him on the fourth line, but they still kept him on the top unit on the power play?
Right.
That was
and then
a good
he got
move.
Moved up anyway.
Yeah, he got moved up anyways back with Strom, so it wasn't even a big deal. But, he definitely looked a lot better when he got put up. What do you guys think of that?
Well, I'll say this. The thing with Kako is you want him to be a top six forward. But at the same time, like we've been saying, he's 18 years old, and he's got a lot to learn. And, when I originally saw the lineup decisions that day that Kako would be on the fourth line, I was a little upset about it because we're in rebuilding
it lightly.
Yeah,
yes,
no. Not a little.
Hey.
Why?
We can all yell at me for my transgressions. But anyway. Kako was from the fourth line, and I was a little upset about it because it is a rebuilding year. And I would understand if this was a team that was kind of like, okay, I feel like the 2011 Boston Bruins is a good example here, a team that had Tyler Seguin because of that Phil Kessel trade, and you knew they were a Stanley Cup contender without him, and they were kind of shuffling Seguin around the lineup the whole year. He didn't really need to be that important piece just yet for Boston. So... But the Rangers are in a different position. The Rangers are rebuilding still, and they're in the midst of it. And we're not looking at the light at the end of the tunnel just yet. So my qualms with it was, why would you take your arguably second most talented player on the team and put him with guys like Brendan Smith and Brett Howden? And that's not to say Brendan Smith and Brett Howden have been terrible, but I mean, they have been, but that's another story. But the fact of the matter is, you want Kaapo Kakko to play with skilled players.
I don't know about that.
You want Kaapo Kakko to play with guys like Filipetto and guys like Mika Zibanejad and Artemi Panarin, because they can help him along in his path to becoming a legitimate top six forward.
But
now,
but again,
like the guys saying,
to interject to that point, though, do you really think Brendan Smith's that much of a detractor? I mean, Brett Howden and Kaapo Kakko had chemistry with Brendan Lemieux, so it seems like he did something right with them. And Brendan Smith seems to be his buddy.
I guess my overarching
on top of that, though, you know, Kakko had to toe the line back in Finland anyway. So it's not like he's not used to, like, being the best player on his line.
Yeah.
So if we're really being honest, this might – I'm not saying this is good for him. I'm going to put it right there. It's not good for him to be on the fourth line, but it's not the worst thing either because he's like, I have to play the game the way I'm supposed to. How did I get drafted second overall? This is the game I have to go back to. He's giving up perfect shot opportunities. He's giving up fantastic – He's just doing questionable things. He's passing when he's not supposed to. He's not getting back the way he should. And he's overthinking it. And like you said, Russell, it's just he's 18. Mm-hmm. It happens.
There you go.
It's not going to come to him overnight. It's going to come to him over the course of the season.
The point I was trying to make was that if Kako stayed on the fourth line, I would have been a lot more upset. But like you guys were saying, he got moved up. He got moved back up. So maybe it was simply Quinn saying, sending a message, like you guys were saying before. So I do hope that that was the case. And to Kevin, your point, I like what you're saying about how he was, in Finland, he was used to being the best on his line, or he's used to being one of the most talented people. But I feel like since the fact he's on the Rangers now, it would be beneficial for him to play with the better players right now because they would only help his development. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, no, I agree with you completely. It's just now he has the mindset, it's like, oh, I have better opportunities, but he's also seeing Panarin score, he's seeing Strom score, he's seeing Kreider score now, and he's seeing Zibanejad score, he's seeing all his teammates score, and he's not, so he's like, oh, for the team, he's thinking team first, for the way the team can succeed, I'm going to pass it to the guy who's doing better, and don't get me wrong, you know, passing isn't the worst thing, but giving up perfect slot opportunities is.
You miss because 100% Panarin, of the shots you don't take.
One of them, obviously, even the one that Ant was like, you should have shot. And I think everybody knows this, where he had a wide open lane, but
yes, he did.
Decided to go for the one time with Panarin. Panarin was still set up for a rebound. So if he did go opposite side, if he did go, you know, short side on, I think, I don't know who was in goal that night, but if he did go short side, then Panarin could just get the rebound off of the pad.
If you're referring to the Ducks game, it was John Gibson.
It was John Gibson. Thank you. I didn't want to be wrong. But, you know, it's just, you know, Quinn, like, I don't know if you see some tweets from, you know, Colin Stephenson or, you know, any other correspondents that go to the practices. You know, all like, one of them that stuck out to me a couple of weeks ago was practice just stopped suddenly, and all you hear is Quinn yelling, shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah.
No matter what coach the Rangers seem to have, it just for some reason, they're allergic to shooting the puck. Yeah. Now I get, like, on a power play, you need a lane, you're just not shooting. And just shooting to shoot isn't great. It's just they are giving up more shot opportunities to try to get that perfect pass for a wide-open net. But that's not always guaranteed either. You could fan on the shot. You could shoot it wide. You know, there could be a good defensive play that could get the rush the other way. And I feel like the Rangers is too much in their head right now. And especially Kako, especially the younger guys, it's like, I need to press. I need to make sure my teammates are on the same page as me. And it's just, it's hard for him.
And he's pressing. You can see that he's pressing, too.
Yeah, because definitely.
You can tell he's got the hunger to play, and he wants to make an impact. I think now that the Rangers are starting to play a little bit better, he's adding a little bit more pressure to himself, because when he was scoring, not to say that when he scored, the Rangers weren't playing well, but they're actually playing a lot better than they did when he was in that little streak of his. So, and also to add to, you know, this whole thing with Kako too, it also shows how consistent David Quinn has been with his motto of holding players accountable. You know, when you mess up and you ultimately don't do something, it's going to be a little bit of a demotion, some a little bit bigger than others. Some believe that, you know, he's a little harsher on some players than others, which honestly, it's actually working out a lot better than people had expected at the beginning of the season. You know, so it not only shows the consistency of what Quinn is doing, but it also shows in that consistency is a good sign. It's a silver lining for Kako, because now it's not like everyone's getting treated differently drastically, you know, where it's just so overbearing that one guy's just getting preferential treatment or something like that. No, he's holding everyone accountable no matter who you are. So Kako just needs to relax a little. And obviously it's easier said than done. I'm just some jamoke here behind a computer.
I'm just some
jamoke behind the computer, but you know, obviously we're, you know, all Ranger fans, but I'm 100% behind whatever the coaching staff is doing with these guys, because it seems like a lot of what they're doing, the fruits of their work is starting to come through, especially with Kako, and we'll see him, you know. And then don't get worried about his lack of production, because a lot of these rookies, even the ones that are highly touted, unless you're like a Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid, this is usually what you get. So
exactly. And I feel like a good point here, you know, I like that you brought that up, JL, because last year Andrei Svechnikov wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire.
The words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. Russell. And, you know, for a Hurricanes team that, you know, they had that second overall pick, they knew who their pick was going to be, because there was no way the Sabres were going to pass on Rasmus Dahlin, who, by the way, is on pace for over 60 points as a teenage defenseman, which hasn't happened in a long time. So amazing young player. But besides the point, Andrei Svechnikov, ultimately ended up having a 20-goal season last year as an 18-year-old, which is extremely impressive in itself. But this year, I mean, look what the kid is doing. He did the lacrosse goal again the other night, and this time he did it basically speeding around a net. I mean, all kinds of confidence, showing the kind of goal scorer he's going to be in this league, showing how dangerous he can be for a Hurricanes team that's seemingly, you know, on that brink of Stanley Cup contention. So, you know, maybe it's going to take a year. Maybe it's going to take a little longer. But point being, Kapo Kaka has all the talent in the world, and he will get there. And, you know, JL's right when he says that, you know, you need to give the coaching staff some credit here, because the Rangers have been playing better as of recently. They've had their ups and downs, but they're a team that they kind of look, they're starting to get that look again of that team that isn't giving up. Like they kind of had all of last year. You know, last year when they were in that kind of weird space, was still selling people off, having a kind of weird skeleton roster, but they still, every night, you had this feeling that they were just going to compete in and out and there were going to be no easy wins against them. So, I mean, looking at recently how they've been doing, we want to take a look at the schedule over the past week. You know, you started out with a 5-0 win over the Golden Knights in Vegas.
Beautiful.
You know, I mean, I believe, well, that was here. Was that in Vegas or that was here?
That was in Vegas, right?
Followed by a not-so-good 3-1 loss to the Kings, followed by a good 6-3 win over the Sharks, followed by a game that they should have won in a 4-3 loss to the Anaheim Ducks in a shootout, followed by a 5-2 loss to the Predators. So, kind of been up and down recently. There's been two really good wins, but three losses that arguably the Rangers probably, you know, should have won at least two of those. JL was at the game on Monday night, as he said, against the Nashville Predators. JL, what did you see in that game that, you know, do you think, what are the positives you could take from that game as opposed to the negatives?
They actually played pretty well. They were actually, the first period, they were all over Nashville. There was a sequence, and the fans were just, we were going nuts because there was a sequence where they just held the puck into their zone, which felt like more than 2 minutes, but it was arguably just about a minute and some change, if I'm correct. I might be wrong on that, but they just had total possession and full domination against them, and UC Saros just stood on his head. You know, that was all UC Saros. Nashville couldn't change their decor, and their players were tired on the ice, and the Rangers just took advantage. Rangers switched players, I think, about two or three times in that sequence. So they just looked good. The thing that killed them that day was the reffing. And as much as you don't like to blame the referees for anything, for the most part, it really sucked a lot of momentum out, especially with some of the calls that they gave the Predators. Like Ryan Ellis, completely untouched in terms of like penalties. Meanwhile, you got Brendan Lemieux getting a penalty for properly pushing his man out in front of the net. Or he got a 10-minute misconduct all because he love-tapped the guy in the neutral zone. Maybe he said something that wasn't kosher, but either way, he didn't really warrant anything. Meanwhile, Jesper Fast, and I forgot who it was. I think it was Dante Fabro. Fabro mean mugged Jesper Fast while he was on the floor, and Fast ended up getting a roughing penalty alongside Fabro. So it just the referees really kind of got in the way of it, and I'm not usually one to say that publicly, but you know, the Rangers were buzzing, and that kind of killed their momentum. It was very similar to the game they played against Arizona at the Garden earlier this year. They just really couldn't stay out of the box, and they just kind of, you know, they kind of got shot in the foot because of it. So, I mean, really, what are you going to do? But other than that, they played well. They've actually, throughout all the games that they've played, outside of maybe the Los Angeles game or the third period of the Anaheim game, this team has played phenomenal. They have been nothing but superb in terms of keeping possession, you know, moving the puck around, you know, the power play, even though they may not have been as fruitful as you want it to be, they've gotten pressure. They've put on, you know, a lot of shots against goaltenders, and they've actually looked good. It's just, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go your way, but they've actually looked pretty good during that stretch.
Now, you know, you say they've looked good, and I agree with you in that. And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were saying that they've been kind of, in a weird way, losing the games they're supposed to win and winning the games they're supposed to lose. And what do I mean by that? I mean by in the games that they've been winning or the games that they've had the positive result, that they've, you know, they've been, the underlying numbers have not been there. But it seems in the games that they're losing, the underlying numbers favor them. So what does that tell you? Well, I mean, it doesn't, right? It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of people will tell you, especially when they beat the Golden Knights 5-0, I remember that was when Twitter exploded for a few days with people saying, well, you should be happy with the win. well, you know, why should we be so happy with this win if all the underlying numbers say they should have lost and they're trending and da-da-da-da-da. And it was on and on, and people were basically screaming at each other over Twitter for 2 days.
I've never seen a group of people get so upset about a win before. I mean, goodness gracious.
Like, I was just going to say that. I've never seen a group of fans get so at each other over a win. And obviously, we want the Rangers to win. And, you know, it was basically the analytics crowd and the eye test crowd really going at it. And, you know, it was, they shouldn't have won. It's bad that they won. Versus, you know, they won, and it's cool that they won. We accept that they made the mistakes, but, you know, a win is a win, and we enjoy that. Now, I don't think it's fair to say the analytics crowd was angry they won, but they were angry that people were not seeing that the Rangers kind of didn't play that well and they still got the win. It's all kind of complicated, but Kevin, maybe you can kind of help people make some sense of this right now.
Oh, I was so happy you called on me.
Absolutely.
I've been waiting so long to talk about this.
You know, it's been kind of a big thing in Rangers Twitter recently.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
With kind of like the eye test crowd and the analytics crowd really going at it, with some people in the middle saying, you know, you need both. And you do need both. You can't completely rely on one. So, you know, Kevin, why do you think that, you know, Rangers Twitter has been seemingly like kind of at each other's throats recently?
It's because with the analytics crowd, they have these statistics that more often than not, like, it's like it explains why certain teams won versus other teams. It's like, oh, the Bruins beat the Canes 3-2 because the Bruins had better possessions in the second and third period when they scored the goals, yada, yada, yada. It's a lot of math. It's a lot of charts. And if you're not well-versed in it, it is confusing and you could get angry at it. So I can see from that point of view. But going to the Nashville game more specifically, I saw a tweet that explained, like, look, the Rangers are taking so many more shots. It's like they don't believe in this. Like, it's something along those lines of, you're like, why are they so opposite of what the stats say? It's like they'll bring up the game versus Vegas where they were terrible offensively, you know, statistically speaking. You know, their chances were terrible. You know, they didn't take a lot of shots. The possession was awful. But then come back to the Nashville game, it's like their possession's great. They're taking a lot of shots, but it's statistics don't mean anything to the individual, if that makes sense. The individual being one specific team. You can say the percentage of, you know, a good team of having possession is 52.5% of the time. Anything below that, you're bad. Anything above that, you're excellent, or something like that. But day in, day out, game in and game out, you have to throw those stats out of the air. It's like it's an after the fact. It's an afterthought. If you're in the game, it's like, well, the first 5 minutes, the Rangers had possession versus this, or it's, you know, you're looking, it's like, well, look, the first 5 minutes, the Rangers look like they're playing like crap. It's the same thing. It's a small sample size, and they're both just getting at each other's throats because the Rangers aren't playing well. It's the bottom of the line.
Right.
If they're playing well, no one cares. If they're in a playoff position, everybody's happy.
Well, clearly, so they're doing something if they're winning games the way they're doing. I mean, it's not.
No, I agree. It's just, I don't mind those games. It's like, that kind of proves why you need a good goalie. And, you know, everybody's, you know, also hashing the should we trade Georgiev, should we keep Georgiev, yada, 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 crap.
Well, we're not going to get into that now.
You know, no, that's why you have the three facets of the game, offense, defense, and goaltending. And with the Vegas Golden Knights game, after Georgiev stood on his head for the first period and a half, the Rangers got the memo and started playing better and started taking advantage of the Vegas Golden Knights' mistakes and got more and more goals. Now, the same can be said for the other way versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Henrik lets off two soft goals, and then they're completely flat on their asses, even though they're getting scoring chances. So,
right.
Statistics and eye tests are so, you're right, Russell, it's hand in hand. But at the end of the day, it's just, are the Rangers winning games, yes or no? That's the only statistic that matters. Because you could be outshot 45-20 and win a game, and all that matters is the fact that you got those 2 points.
And that is the goal, to get those 2 points. And, you know, you want to see them trending in the right direction. I think that's the biggest thing the analytics guys were kind of saying. Like, if they kept up that kind of play, it wasn't going to lead to sustained success.
Like, one of the things that you can really compare this argument to is, again, I'm going to use a baseball analogy. Don't roast me, guys. it's like, why do you have to use baseball for? So basically, it's like, when you look at a box score and a team wins with like 2-0, but then the team that has 2 runs has 2 hits, but the team that has 10 hits has 0 runs. So it's kind of similar to that. It doesn't necessarily matter how you do it. It's you got the win regardless. you know? So I think when it comes to the eye test and all that, the one thing that people should understand is not ruling out analytics completely, but I think the age of hockey and analytics is still very young. It's been something that has just come about recently. So I think a lot of the analytics, while they do represent a decent part of the game, it's not the entire story. So when people rely heavily on it and create these arguments, it doesn't necessarily do anyone any favors. So it's very, like you said, if the Rangers are winning, what's the problem? You know, especially with, you know, when they got Trouba, Panarin, and Fox, everyone knew they were going to try and at least go on some kind of run. So
absolutely,
we all knew that they weren't just going to totally flop. So I think we should just not have to worry about, hey, this happened. Oh, no, Rangers won. Great. That's ultimately what we want at the end of the day, regardless of whether you want to get a first-round pick or a high-end pick or not. You want to see the Rangers win. That's what this whole thing is about. So,
also, a good point to add on top of that, something David Quinn said the other week was very interesting to me. A lot of the underlying numbers analytics stuff kind of relies on, like, how high percentage chances you're getting, and also, like, kind of like how high percent chance your shots have of kind of going in. But what David Quinn said was, how can we totally rely on that if we're not taking shots? And, you know, I thought that was really interesting, because this kind of ties into everything we were talking about together with the coaching, with even guys like Kako not shooting enough. And it kind of all ties together with the fact that these Rangers are very young still. And you're not going to see what this team can really do for a little while now. So, of course, you know, they're not looking good underlying right now. And, of course, some games, even the eye test, you know they're definitely not looking good when they get hemmed in their own zone for minutes at a time. I don't think you can accurately judge how this team is going to be doing until the prospects mature the right way, until, you know, you have kind of that foundation and you're set with the people you have on your D-core, you're set with your top six. Your bottom six is always going to change, and kind of like, you know, you're always going to have guys fill in and fill out there. But, you know, I feel like, especially for the crowd of people that aren't big fans of David Quinn right now, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you need to just kind of, you know, it's more we've been saying, just more patience in the fact that we are the youngest team in the NHL. There's going to be a lot of growing pains. And yes, maybe they don't look good analytically right now, and even the eye test, sometimes they don't look good. But if this young team, this is at least the way I'm looking at it right now, if this young team with guys like Fox and Tony DeAngelo, Kako, hopefully Kravtsov soon, Hedl, you know, if you're looking at these guys and they can get a taste of some wins, or kind of get a taste of that playoff hunt, or at least be in the playoff chase come February, March, that means a lot to a team of young players. And yes, they didn't, you know, they underlying numbers so they shouldn't have won, or like this is the way they should have played. Okay, I understand your point. And yes, maybe it's not sustainable. But in the minds and in the, you know, the hearts of these young kids who are making their first steps and strides into the NHL, you should want them to get some wins under the belt. Maybe they can, you know, see a playoff chase, and, you know, maybe they can, if they get into the playoffs, and maybe they do sneak in a wild card spot, that only helps. And, you know, to the crowd that says, you know, we want another top 10 pick, we want another high pick, we want to get one of these like big five or big seven on the team, look, you're preaching to the choir, because that would be awesome too. But the point I want to make here is that I want them to be competitive along the way, because you don't want to instill a culture of losing. And that's the biggest thing.
I've been saying that forever.
You can't have both, though.
No, you can't have both. That's true.
You can't win and, you know, also get a good pick. It's just, yeah, you could win the lottery if the Rangers don't make the playoffs, but obviously the less well you do, the more likely you're going to get a higher pick, yada, yada, yada. But just, I do agree with you completely, Russ. The goal should still be wild card. Why not?
Why not? Exactly. Why not?
Why not? It's just, they're literally at this, like, the last year or two of a rebuild that happened so quickly. It's just, if all of these guys could click at once, we can see a Carolina Hurricane situation where it's just, wow, they went on a run. They look great. I can't wait to see what happens next year. And that's great. If they barely miss the playoffs, I'll still be happy with that, because it's like, look, they could compete with the better teams. Like we've been talking about all night. The Rangers are beating good teams. So it's not like they can't do it. It's not like they're only beating up on the Senators and the Ducks and the Kings and you know, whoever else has terrible records, like the Devils. But it's just, you got to just realize that this team is built to win, and it's actually going to happen sooner than everybody thinks, but it's not also happening right now. So the idea of they're definitely going to make the playoffs shouldn't be in your head, just the idea that they could surprise some people. They can go on a 4, 5, 6 game run and then be right back in the conversation. But if they don't, if they're winning 1-1, you know, win one, lose one, then it's still good because they're not going on a losing streak.
Experience.
They're seeing how to be resilient. Exactly.
Yeah, they're able to pick themselves back up and be like, here we go. Let's get back at this. It's just, with the game in Nashville, yeah, obviously they played pretty good. It's just penalties. Penalties.
Yeah.
That was it.
And also
that
might have been one of the worst officiated games I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's one thing to kind of like miss a call. I understand that. It's like you didn't see the elbow or, you know, Buchnevich bent down, so he wasn't ready. But again, like the fact that you're calling one team for something that's not even blatantly interference versus someone who literally has his elbow out to hit somebody, it's just really bad on the refs that people already have like a huge problem with.
And lastly, it's basically what I said at the Garden. You're giving him what, 2 minutes to play defense? Come on.
Yeah.
I say that a lot.
And you know
that
what?
Was the case.
That you know, we could go on and on about how horrible that officiating was in that game and how Jesper Foss was basically getting mugged with a ref standing right there.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know,
I think that was the worst part.
Yeah, that might have been the worst part.
Me. That was the worst part. It's like, it really is. If they miss it, it's okay. Like, you don't have eyes in the back of your head, but you could see the ref look down at what's going on and doesn't signal a thing. It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Pee-wee, whatever you want to call it, it's just terrible.
But, you know, hopefully the refs turn it around. And in our final topic for our show today, I'd like to go across the pond and go to Europe for a second, because Lauri Pajuniemi has been an absolute revelation this season for TPS Turku, Kaapo Kakko's old team. Pajuniemi had a hat trick today. I believe he's up to 18 or 19 goals on the season. And not just him, but along with Pajuniemi and Nils Lundqvist and even Adam Edström, to a sense, who is a sixth rounder, who's contributing for his team in Sweden, you know, Nils Lundqvist has immediately shot up the charts to become our best defensive prospect. Lauri Pajuniemi went from being a guy who people were like, yeah, he might do something, to a guy who's now being looked at as, whoa, could he possibly contribute as a middle six, or, you know, cross our fingers, top six guy one day? And, you know, it's amazing to see what the scouting staff has done, and just, you know, in such a short period of time, what this Rangers prospect pool has looked like. Because if you go back a few years ago, we'd look at a guy like Pajuniemi right now and we would be begging that he would be the savior. But that's simply not the case. We're looking at him like, hey, if he works out, it just adds on to this amazing pool that we have.
Complimentary player.
That's exactly
a good thing, though.
Exactly. That is a really good thing to have. So, you know, this is our last topic of the day. I'm going to go around with the two guys, of course. JL, what do you think this says, not just about the scouting staff, but about how the Rangers prospect pool is just so evolved that a kid, you know, even a 20-year-old kid who's potting hat tricks in Europe is looked at as, yeah, that's kind of cool, but we, you know, if it works out, it doesn't. But if we're, you know, it's kind of, like you said, a complimentary piece. So what does this mean for the team as this rebuild continues?
Well, first off, your segue from Kevin's point to your point was one of the more abrupt ones I've heard, but it's okay.
Oh, it's for sure abrupt, but it's fine.
It's like, and the refing sucks now. You know?
Hey, I like to say one thing.
Hey,
they can't all be winners. They can't all be winners.
Right.
No, that's,
I apologize.
I wouldn't be able to do that either. I would probably like be babbling for like 10 minutes just trying to get to refs to prospects and... Well,
We've heard you babble enough as is, Kevin. So,
oh, thanks, Shane. How about we talk about players that will never make it to the Rangers?
Don't get me started on that. I'll be here all night. No, but
all night.
When it comes to Pajuniemi, though, I was very impressed with the. It just seems like, first of all, if you look at the guy, he really does resemble Kaapo Kakko. It's crazy how much he resembles him.
And
he
plays weird. Uncanny.
It's weird.
And
he
plays
looks like a brother or something.
Yeah, it's like younger Kaapo Kakko. How can you possibly get younger? Well, no, actually, no, he's not younger. He's actually older. I that's a stupid thing on my part. I'm looking at the thing right now, but he's definitely not not here yet. So
good job, JL.
Yeah, see, I'm prone to mistakes too. No, but it just seems like, you know, when you mentioned the scouting staff, it just seems that they're getting players who seem to be more on an uptick. And our fellow friend and contributor, Statboy Steven, made a very good point in one of our podcasts, and it really stuck with me. The Rangers in past drafts would get players who were just kind of like already at a certain point. So that's why a lot of them kind of hit their ceiling at a certain point, like a JT Miller, for example. Like, even though Miller is doing a lot better now, but when they had JT Miller, you knew what you were getting. That's basically second line, you know, grinder forward who can get down and dirty in the corners. But, you know, he had a lot of offensive flash but never really got to it. And that's basically how it was the whole time as a Ranger. But now you look at these guys that they're getting, like an Anderson or a Kratzoff or even Hedl. It's like these guys trend upward. And as you trend upward, you develop with the team, you own your skills. And it seems like everyone who they're trying to get, look for, and go after, they just seem to be falling that same thing. So Steven was right on that point. And Paajuniemi, that's a mouthful.
Let's just call him Pudgy.
No, Paajuniemi. I like to say the full names, Kevin. I'm not that type of person, Kevin.
Oh my god!
I just
sound got, any more condescending.
I got full snob. I got full snob. They're like, oh yeah,
children, yeah, please.
Kevin and I are gonna fight afterwards.
A regular stat boy, Steven himself over here.
Kevin and I are gonna come to blows afterwards. No, in all seriousness, though. He's done a phenomenal job, and he just looks so good out there. Like, it just comes natural to him that, you know, it seems like he's taken the mantle from Kako at TPS, and he's just lighting it up. You know, he's got 18 goals already so far, and it seems like he's got one heck of a shot. So just imagine in the future you have a line of Paajuniemi, let's say Zibanejad and Kako. I mean, that wouldn't be too bad, you know, or you stick him with Panarin and stuff like that, you know. I the kid just looks really good. This is one of the few surprises that I've seen so far.
You know what's also weird about this that I really like? When I was starting to pay attention to the prospect pool a few years back, and I noticed that these teams had the golden helmet, I was like, man, I really wish, like, a Rangers prospect had the golden helmet every once in a while.
And now he does,
and I don't know why it's so satisfying. I'm like, oh, I love that.
He's the best player on that team. It looks really cool, Kevin. You can say it.
No, it really does. Cool. No, it does.
It does. It sticks out like a sore thumb. But, again, it's just satisfying to have a player with so much potential and is, like, showcasing it. And it's recognized by the whole team. It's like, he is our best player. He gets all of the points. And what did he end up with today? 5 points? 3 goals?
He had a hat trick and 1 assist today.
So four points.
That's pretty good.
Which is unbelievable. It's just...
So four out of the five TPS goals related exactly to Paajuniemi today.
Yeah, which is great. And this is why he deserves the golden helmet.
Absolutely.
Now,
so
one more
this
thing.
Week,
one more
oh,
thing
before oh, our last word, here, Mr. JL would like one last.
Mr. JL.
Okay, here's JL.
Here
we
go.
Here I come. I'll give you guys a question. Obviously, you know, Kaapo Kakko was one who did wear the golden helmet. So was obviously Paajuniemi. What other Ranger can you remember had a golden helmet before he came to the team?
Oh, I got. I'm gonna guess Matt Zuccarello. If I'm gonna be honest,
Kevin,
here.
Your guess.
Kevin.
I have no guess whatsoever because I'm thinking of guys that are recent, but I feel like it's a trick question because it wasn't recent.
Yeah.
That's my answer. I have no idea.
JL, go ahead and reveal.
You are
the
correct, Russell. It was Matt Zuccarello.
Oh, yeah.
I was also correct because it was a long time ago.
It was.
Oh, look at Kevin. Uh-huh. Look at Kevin trying to get credit. It's like, ah, yes.
It's points. It's an assist.
Out of the statue of limitations there.
I love it.
I am correct.
I love it.
The best kind of correct.
Kevin.
Yes.
Last time, JL got the last word. This time, you get the last word, Kevin.
The last word of the podcast. Ooh, I feel so honored out of the three of us. So really, it does happen every three shows. The Rangers, and I'm going to reiterate this again, are a very young team. They're very dynamic, and they could have the best potential to be one of the best teams in the league. Please, I will say this every single podcast, patience. If you're going to get mad over a team that loses to one of the better teams in the league, it's okay. If you're going to get mad about a team that loses to one of the worst teams in the league, it's okay. This year does not matter. They're not going to make the playoffs, and if they do, they're not going to go far. So please, patience. This team looks so good right now. Imagine next year when everything else is fitting into place. Let's go, Rangers!
You've been listening to 4B Radio, powered by ForeverBlueShirts.com.